Good morning and welcome to Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. I'm your host, Rob Bird. I am truly honored to be able to bring to you the people and places of Southwest Michigan and beyond. Well, it's beginning to feel a lot like spring, kinda, and our little world is waking up. So there is no time to lose. Let's get to it. On this show, Mayor Scott Smith will discuss marijuana, the splash pad, and golf carts. Film transfers are the subject with Norman Camera's Matt Quameda. Mylon Bittenbender from Lifebridge Church will be here exploring community outreach. The Fenville Drama Club's Ryan and Ashley will tell you about two new comedies for the price of dinner. The YDC Pal Spotlight will extend an invitation to you. And just for fun, my friend and conspiracy theorist, Charles Powers IV, asked if the real Paul McCartney could please stand up. All this and more right now on
Robert's Moondog Saturday Morning Show.
Missed last week's episode of Robert's Moondog Saturday Morning Show? Shame on you, but you're in luck. Here's Danny Donuts with last week's radio show recap.
Episode 10 of Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show could have been named Rob Bird's Old Dog Saturday Morning Birthday. Perhaps the best gift was Cozy Spencer Rivers teaching this old dog new tricks, or rather, old tricks of the trade, like putting on a long playing record like Stairway to Heaven, and then you could find time to visit the refrigerator or water closet. Oops, too bad you have a talk show and don't play long playing records. Spencer also shared some entertaining stories from his early radio days. Royce Myers from the Star of the Lake Masonic Lodge in South Haven told us that the Masons are the largest and oldest fraternity in the world. Rob assured us they're not like a college animal house fraternity. No, it's all about making the community a better place, like volunteering to count gorgeous mermaids at the Mermaid Festival. Now that's the kind of community service I'd sign up for. Matt Quameda from Norman Camera was in the studio to talk about camera filters, and he completely overwhelmed me with the hundreds of thousands of filters available for my camera. Although I must admit, I am curious about the ND disappearing car filter. Hey Matt, can I use that the next time I'm stuck in traffic? Brooke Blanchard from YDC Pale is on a mission to unite the nonprofit organizations to bring the resources together. Hey, if it worked for superheroes, why not for nonprofits? Remember that cartoon, Super Friends? Rob and Brooke seem to be working together to build in the Southwest Michigan Justice League of Nonprofits.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Rob was so inspired he started quoting Whitney Houston lyrics. But I too believe that children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Then this chatterbox named Danny Donuts came into the studio. He's a new addition to the show doing the weekly radio recap. He talked about his journey from kids performing to cable access TV all the way to being a radio star on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show. Rob compared him to a chainsaw, and I'm not quite sure if that was a compliment or not. Rob Knight from Coloma's Masonic Lodge came in to continue the conversation about masonry. He kept calling it the Freemasons, but come on, you expect me to believe that you don't have to pay dues? Rob and Rob, did you ever notice there's a lot of Robs on the show? I did. Anyway, they assured us that masonry's not a cult, it's a bunch of good guys doing good things, and even President George Washington was a Freemason. Congrats, Rob, you made it to double digits. And right after this, I encourage you all to find the podcast of the epic episode number 10 of Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show.
Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show.
We're back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. And it is a great honor that I have the Honorable Mayor Scott Smith in the studio with me today. How are you this morning, Scott?
I'm great. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I can see your eyes are barely open, but we got a long day ahead of us here on Saturday. Anything good going on today?
Oh, absolutely. There's always good things going on the weekend, especially around South Haven.
I wasn't planning on talking about marijuana, but having you here and kind of being the top guy who is dealing with the issue, I think let's spend a couple minutes and talk about it. Where are we with marijuana in South Haven?
So at this time, the City Council has given direction to the Planning Commission to really take up all of the kind of the primary issues of marijuana, you know, to grow it, to process it, to test it, to dispense it, and really looking at those uses and where it's possible. So the council pretty much overwhelmingly, I mean, we had one off, but I mean, a majority of the council said, let's look further.
Let's move it forward.
So we're moving it forward. We placed a moratorium. So as the state set this up, it was you're in unless you're out.
Mm-hmm.
So the concern was we don't want to be all in until we figure out what we want to be. Right. So by no means is the council saying no. We're simply saying let us figure this out in a way that's structured so that we can control the way this rolls out. So no pun intended. we're hoping this should move pretty quickly. I think we gave them a 6-month time frame.
Yeah, I think we're probably already a month into it.
So we're a month into it. And so, you know, some are easier than others. If you look at testing, for instance, we have a facility that could currently do testing in this community. Mm-hmm. So that might be something that moves quicker.
Right.
The growing is an interesting process. We've been able to go out and see grow facilities, and it's, I think, very different. People would be surprised to see.
It's not what you think.
This is not grandma's marijuana. I don't know. This is a very different
process. It's a scientific, process. Very artistic scientific, process.
Very controlled. I mean, they're controlling fumes and whatnot. So very different process. So what's going to become really, I think the lightning rod will be dispensaries. And so that's where we'll spend probably a little more time. But at this point in time, it's at the Planning Commission. We're going through that review process. From there, it will then come back to the City Council and we'll work through it.
Yeah. And I think I had said before when Brian and Kate were on the show with me, I had said to them also that I thought that it was a very, very wise, not that I want to be moving forward with it, but wise that they were taking their time a little bit to make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, what we don't want to do is, if we push it too fast, we're just going to get a lot of opposition. So I think the goal is to let the community understand all the variables, realize we're making decisions, and let's put these, you know, put these business operations in places that make sense, that are going to, you know, create little or no conflict. That's
it's like
the goal.
Easing into a hot bath.
Ease in. Exactly.
Well, let's move on from marijuana. Let's talk about another thing that's happening in town moving forward down on the South Beach. It's the splash pad.
Yes.
Can you give me a little more? I don't really know all that much about it, but can you tell me a little bit what's going on that and where you guys are?
Yeah. So the splash pad, we have basically that's been going all the way through a public visioning session, which included we actually went out to Maple Grove and Lincoln Elementary Schools, and we got input from over 100 of our end users, which mm-hmm. is very important. We've heard from the adults, but we thought we should hear from the kids, mm-hmm. which is great. And I will give the kids credit. I really had as many good ideas and suggestions from those elementary school kids as I did in the adult public process.
Yeah, you hear that, adults? It's time for you guys to step up if the kids are out thinking you.
I had kids asking everything from wheelchair accessibility to lighting questions, you name it.
The doesn't kids, seem like that would be something they would be concerned with.
Kids laid it all out. It's very impressive. So in the end, we went to the public and said, what do you like? We had one design that was more of just kind of a flat design, no structures. And then we had one that had a very simple, kind of a subtle ship design to mimic the Friends Goodwill.
Okay.
So that was ultimately chosen by a majority of, one, the students, two, the Parks Commission liked it, so the Parks Commission has voted to push that design forward, so that's being designed as we speak. The location is set to be adjacent to the water, because if you think of driving down toward the beach next mm-hmm. to the water plant there, kind of between the road and the sidewalk there, it's really a very comprehensive design. We're going to be putting fencing around it. There will be, you know, benches. Ultimately, there's going to be more seating. There's going to be a really neat chance for the public to engage that space. And really, one of the most important things for, you know, me personally and the City Council is that if we're having a red flag day, it is a quick and visible option for the public to head toward and to get those,
and to
get those
there.
Kids out
that's
of
right.
the water.
That's right.
And because I know that's been one of the concerns is why there? Why not put it a mile away from there? The reality is a lot of times the public's down there and they're going to go, if they can't get their toes in the water, they're just, you know, they're probably going to stay in the water.
Well, I think it's nice to have it down at the beach. What's the timeline on that for completion?
We are hoping we've got a couple more public meetings to go through. It's if we are doing well by the end of the summer, we will be able to turn the water on. So maybe before the last holiday of the year, we'll get a couple of weeks for our local residents to maybe stick their toes in.
There you go. We'll keep our fingers crossed for that. But moving on, let's talk a minute about golf carts. Certainly a item of controversy in South Haven. Laws change. People who might be too shouldn't be on the road on their golf cart. Little kids who aren't strapped in. There's just a lot of things to consider. You know, where is South Haven on golf carts now?
We got to remember golf carts and ORVs The city is following the state guidelines. And so you've got to register them with the city. ORVs are a little different because the ORV rules, they're requiring seat belts, you're requiring turn signals. So, and we've got all that information. We can get into that in more detail. But just on a quick note, I would just say, remind folks, make sure you get down to City Hall. Well, actually not City Hall. It's actually out at the police and fire complex.
At the township?
There's a, at the city.
Okay. Yep,
in the city. To get those things registered, they'll get you a sticker. There's no charge for that. So you can get out and get a sticker on your ORV, your golf cart. You know, and the issue with the seatbelts and whatnot, I know that's been an issue. It's been a concern. We ultimately follow the state on those. So we're not deviating from the state rules on seatbelts and whatnot. The biggest thing is that there are still rules on age guidelines, and you know, you can't have, you know, young kids, you know, driving those things. You gotta, you know, driver's licenses, all that information that would apply to an automobile applies. So we just have to make sure. One is the adults that own those vehicles. It's your responsibility.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So, you know, our police department is, you know, we try to be diligent on those. And so adults, it's your job to make sure your vehicles are being used properly.
Yeah. And another thing that you need to be aware of in South Haven is you don't want to get your golf cart going down any of the bike lanes. These are now misdemeanors, as I have heard.
That is correct.
And they're going to be enforcing it.
That is correct.
So you've heard it here, so stay out of the bike lanes. And if you're going to drive the golf carts out on the road, be where you're supposed to be, because we really do not want to see any casualties here. Well, thanks, Scott, for being with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be right back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM.
Hi, I'm John Marcus.
And I'm Rob Evers of West Michigan Yacht Sales, your hometown dealer for Pursuit, Brig, and Brokerage Boat Sales.
With both of us raised in Holland, we're thrilled to be your Pursuit dealer where it all started and introduce the Lakeshore to an exciting brand of ribs called Brig.
Yeah, and that's really it. Whether we are helping you find a boat, or selling your boat, or helping you customize a boat that's best for you and your family, we look forward to helping you get on the water, doing whatever it is that's special for you.
You can learn more about us, our brands, and our inventory at WMYachtSales.com.
Need a ride? Let Van Buren Public Transit get you where you need to go. Did you know you can catch our hourly Loop bus 7 days a week in South Haven and Pawpaw? Our Bangor Apple Loop operates 3 days a week, and you can ride our brand new Hartford Loop every Thursday and Friday. We also offer dial-a-ride service in South Haven, Pawpaw, and throughout the entire county. Make Van Buren Public Transit your first choice for transportation. Got questions? Call our friendly dispatchers at 427-7921. Van Buren Public Transit. Our business is picking up.
Robert's Moondog Saturday Morning Show.
Hey, 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 hey. We're back on Robert's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. And one of the real cool things about having a radio show is that I can do whatever I want. And, you know, I've got a couple of youngsters with me from the Fenville Drama Club, which is a drama club that I partake in and spend a lot of time and actually sponsor it and am the director of them. And, you know, these kids are great kids, and I love having them around. And I've got Ryan and Ashley with me, who are are the two mains. We're actually, this year what we're going to do is two comedies for the price of dinner. And these guys are in one of the comedies. They are the two leads. And called Check Please. Can you, Ryan, how are you this morning? Good to see you.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ashley, this morning?
Pretty good.
That's so awesome that you guys got yourselves up so early to come to the studio. Well, you know, tell me a little bit about Drama Club, Ryan, and why you do it.
It's an after-school program that is offered during the spring, and I do it because I find performing arts in general really fun. In eighth grade, it was something I had an interest in, and I tried it out, and I found that I was good at it.
You like to, well, then that's usually how it works when you like something and then you become good at it, or you're good at it and then become to like it. But that's really kind of where all that goes. Ashley, what about you? Why do you like to do Drama Club?
Basically, I just joined drama because I really liked watching movies and I thought actors were really cool. And I didn't join drama until freshman year because I was always scared of disappointment, basically. I was scared to act. But this year, I wanted to take a leap and try it out.
Well, and that's an awesome thing, and that's what really Drama Club is all about, is trying to do new things. And, you know, even within that, you get to, when you get cast in a part, you know, they kind of fits your personality a little bit, but you get to play somebody else. Can you tell me a little bit about Chex, Please, and what this is about, Ashley?
Basically, it's a play where two people are on a chain of blind dates, and the people we're on dates with are a little peculiar.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we just go on these dates, and then at the end the two mains meet each other and go out.
What do you tell people about when you talk to your friends and stuff about Drama Club and what you do?
I tell them that it's a really fun opportunity to really put yourself in someone else's shoes and to put yourself out there and just to get comfortable performing in front of an mm-hmm. audience.
And, you know, and we have quite a mixed group here in our Fenville Drama Club, and it's really a diverse group with, and I'm not just talking about race and genders. I'm talking about personalities, and that's one of the things that I like the most about being in the Drama Club is I think you kids help keep me young, and we have a great time, and I think I get to be kind of like Uncle Rob, and I'm not your normal teacher. So, you know, what do you tell people about Drama Club, Ashley?
I basically just say that it's a pretty fun place to be, where you can be yourself and put yourself out there, and you don't have to hide anything, and you can just perform.
And just be who you are. You know, and tell a little bit about kind of what we do in Drama Club. I mean, it's like I said, it's not the normal. We come in here and we're really regimented, and we're, you know, on top of you and yelling at you. We try to keep it pretty loose and have a good time and let you guys be who you are. You know, what would you tell anybody else that may be thinking about being in something like Drama Club? I mean, we're full for the year, but what would you tell someone, you know, who may be thinking about it for next year?
Drama Club isn't a place where you walk in the doors and it's me like get to work. Obviously there's work involved, but it's like talking and saying, hey, what's going on in your life, and just getting to know people that you might not see in your other classes. And then when we do get the work done and start putting the work in, it's not so much hammered on. It's like, just have fun with it.
Right. And, you know, and this year, I think we're trying something a little bit different. Last year, we did a video. The previous 3 years, we did regular plays. This year, we're going to do two comedies, and they're shorter comedies, around 30, 40 minutes. And we're going to revolve a dinner in the middle. Not revolve, but we're going to have it in the middle. So we'll have a comedy, then we'll do a dinner, and then we'll have another comedy. And, you know, we're working on some things for dinner, maybe some improv or something like that. So, you know, what I want our people to know around here is I've been doing this for 5 years with the Drama Club in Fenville, and, you know, it's not one of the high priorities in Fenville, the drama. So, you know, we have these kids and we work really, really hard, and then, you know, we get people to come to the shows, but not nearly as many as we'd like to. So with having the radio show, that's kind of what I'm hoping we can do this year, is really show everybody and show you guys what talented kids you are, and get people from all over our listening area to come in and watch. So, you know, what are you thinking about for the future? And Ashley, I think you, what's your future in acting? Are you going to be an actor when you grow up, or is this just something for high school?
This is just a high school thing for me. I'm more focused on my curriculars, and I want to be an engineer.
You know, and what about you, Ryan?
I've always had a little, like, mindset in the arts, especially after this year, not just with drama, but also in choir. We're doing a musical, and I think if I had any future in performing arts that's not, like, music-based, it would be like trying out different musicals.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, it's unfortunate, but with every radio show and a segment, the time comes to an end, and we're at the end of our time. And I certainly appreciate you guys coming on and talking about what you guys do with the Fenville Drama Club and how much fun we really have, because it's one of those things where I certainly think that it enriches students' lives. This is why kids like to go to school, for the fun things they get to do afterwards and see their friends and all that stuff. And if anybody thinks that these kids are coming to school because they love geometry, it's not true. So they come because of these things, and they excel in school because they want to keep doing this kind of stuff. So, guys, it was awesome having you this morning.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. Once again, I have my good friend Shelly Ridley in the studio with me to talk about real estate. Today she's going to talk about selling your home and 4 tips that you should do when you're doing that. Shelly, where are you from? And tell me a little bit about number one.
Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
I am from Jakeway Realtors here in South Haven. Four huge things that I've got for when you're selling your home. Number one, your kitchen. Kitchen's heart of the home. 80% of buyers, when they go in, that's their favorite room. You don't have to do anything major. Reface the cabinets. Put new hardware on. People love stainless steel appliances. Don't go in, change countertops, anything expensive like that, because somebody could come in and rip it all out.
Right on, and make sure it's clean. Number two.
Number two is the bathroom. That is the second thing that people go to look at when they come in. Again, don't have to do major things. Caulk around the tub, the toilet, the showers. If you have a tile floor, regrout around it. Fixtures and mirrors, if you replace those, that's huge.
Make things bright and shiny. Right. Number three.
Number three, the exterior, which is huge. That's the first impression of your house. People are going to roll up to your door and they're going to look at it and they're going to go either yay or nay. Either you can put a new door on it or you can paint it. Make sure that the outside of the house is clean and clutter-free. Power wash the house, power wash the decks, paint the home, or fix siding if need to be.
And I think your number four is going with landscaping. Tell us about that.
Number four is landscaping. Plant colorful flowers out there. People love to see color. If you've got trees and shrubs, make sure you keep those trimmed back. Wintertime is huge. In the wintertime, make sure you keep the sidewalk shoveled. You shovel off the stairs. You keep the driveway cleaned out.
And how does someone go about finding you?
If they would like to find me, they can give my cell phone a call. That number is 269-214-6045. Or you can look up my Facebook page, which is Shelly Ridley, Jakeway Realtor.
There you go, Shelly Ridley, the Tell It Like It Is real estate agent. Give her a call.
Robert's Blue Dog Saturday Morning Show.
We're back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show, and I always like to highlight folks that are out there doing good things for the community. And I know I talk pretty much a lot of the way. I don't do religion or politics on the show, but I do want to talk to someone who does, like I said, good things in the community, and they are a religious organization, and it's LifeBridge Ministries. How are you this morning, Mylon?
I'm doing great.
Well, it's
thanks,
good.
Rob.
Yeah, it's good to see you. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and when we're talking about that, I said we're not necessarily going to talk about religion, but it might sneak in there just a little bit. But, you know, kind of tell me a little bit about your organization as it pertains to community outreach.
Yeah. In the very beginning, even the name LifeBridge came from this desire for us to be able to build bridges to between people and to life. We believe that there's a lot of bad news in the world. There's a lot of death, and I'm not necessarily just talking about when your heart stops, but mm-hmm. just the stuff of life. And we just really believe that we should be positive. We should be generous. We should be a people who are bringing life to our community and building bridges. That's how we do that. We connect people.
Okay. Well, what are some of the things that you guys do to connect people?
Well, we have mission partners in this community. We connect with WeCare, which is an organization we really believe in. We believe in what they're doing and the ways that they're meeting needs. We partner also with Hope Parent Resource Center. They help young teens who find themselves pregnant and aren't sure what to do. They come alongside and encourage them and help them out in a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Truth Skate Church, meeting the needs of a lot of young people in the community. And so some of it is partnering with specific organizations like that. But we're also just always looking for ways to just serve people.
Right.
You know?
And you had mentioned, and this is always a concern in this town, even when I was a young person, is what do young people do in town, especially during the winter, or constructively that may keep them out of trouble? And you mentioned the Truth Skate Church. And tell me just a little bit about that, because I really don't know much about it.
Oh, yeah. Started by Kyle Brush. He's doing an amazing job. They've got like a hardcore skate park, indoor skate park right here in our own community. Something that you would have a hard time finding even in cities like Grand Rapids. And they just they have open skate times, and kids come in and they love on them and encourage them and give them a place to hang out and do their thing. It's awesome.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. It's something that they don't have to do, but they do it, and it caters to a specific group that otherwise might be untouched.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so what do you guys do? What are some of the things that you guys do that are special? Not even, you know, I wanted to get into collaboration a little bit with other organizations. What do you do to maybe bring some of that collaboration together and to serve as many people as you can?
Yeah, we're actually working on that right now. We do things like, you know, even the, maybe your listeners are aware of the 4th of July parade. We pass out popsicles, you know, even that. We sat down and we thought, if we're going to be in the parade, what is it that people are needing in that moment? We want to meet a need. We want to let people know we've thought and we care. And so we pass out popsicles. And that doesn't sound like a, you know, a big deal, but it's the heart of our people to be generous. We have life groups. We have people that meet in all these different life groups. And one of the challenges for every life group, for every session, we have three sessions a year, is to take on a mission project of some sort. So a lot of our projects aren't even this big, huge project that the whole church does, but it's a life group, simply providing meals for a family. It's a life group meeting need of some of the students in the school. It's a life group just reaching out and taking care of a neighbor, building a ramp, you know, for a wheelchair access ramp.
Right.
A lot of different things like that, dozens and dozens of those that happen throughout the year.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's kind of one of those things that I like to talk about is ministries within church. A church is a place for someone to go. A ministry reaches out to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of give me your take on really what that's all about.
Yeah, you know, we're motivated by the gospel message. We believe that Jesus is the one that we follow. And when we look at his life in the New Testament, he went out and he served people. He loved people. And he didn't say, hey, I'm going to tell you this so that you will. He is love. The Bible tells us God is love. And if we really pick that message up, it motivates us and it mobilizes us to go out and to love people. And you can't love people if you don't understand them and you don't see their need and you're not willing to actually do something about that.
Sure, absolutely. Well, what are some of the things, and I know that we've talked a little bit about it, and you probably don't want to let the cat out of the bag right away, but, you know, tell me a little bit about the future and kind of what you're looking at doing here in the next year or two that helps contribute to the community.
Yeah, you know, we are, and Rob, I've talked to you. I know that you're huge on collaboration, and man, I really believe that we are better together. And so many times there's this kind of gap between the church or religion and the community. And we, like I said earlier, we want to bridge that gap. We want to begin to mobilize ways for people to serve in the community, whether they're a part of our church or not. We do have a couple big projects coming up that will be more of the large scale, getting the entire church mobilized to do a project or something on a certain day. But I'm not ready to announce that yet.
No, that's good. You know, as we still have a little more time here, and I've always been a little fascinated with watching your guys' growth. Yeah. And I'm not even sure where you started before Listiac, but you're in Listiac for the longest time, and now you're in the new building, which when I was a kid was the Haima. That's where the Chevrolet place was.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
Kind of tell me just a little bit about your growth into that place and what you're really putting together out there.
Yeah, it's turned out to be a really great project for us. We have 12 acres there, so we've got a little bit of room to grow. But we really find that people are resonating with this message. A lot of it is not telling people what they're supposed to believe or telling people what they can't do, but really showing people what they can do. Talking about generosity, talking about what it means to be life-giving, what it means to bring positivity to our community, mm-hmm. and loving and serving people. And it's amazing how many people really, they have that in their heart. They want to do that, but the world that we live in, the news that we listen to, just kind of squelches that hope. And so for a lot of people, just envisioning that is difficult, but a consistent message of what that means, and it's drawn from the gospel. That's what it is, and a lot of people are coming to be a part of it, and it's really growing into a movement.
Yeah,
and we're excited about that.
Yeah, well, and if you are looking for something else, whether it is religion, whether you are looking for God, or whether you're looking for a group of people to maybe help contribute to the community,
yeah.
You know, what would you say? I mean, we've got to wrap this up here pretty shortly, but what would you say to those people?
We always tell people, just come and just give it a try. Come and check it out. We have a very open-handed approach, which means, you know, if you come in the door, we're not going to grab a hold of you and try to tie you down. We just say, come and see. Come in here. If you like it, keep coming back. We got a lot of ideas. We got a lot of things that we're doing, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. And you don't have to believe what we believe. You don't have to necessarily dive into everything that we're about to find belonging, to find a place to meet people, and to be a part of something great.
And that's the message that I like hearing coming from a church, because it didn't really grow up that way for me, and I like hearing that attitude. being certainly a community, faith-based, but a community organization. So, Mylon, thank you for being with me this morning.
Thanks, Rob, for the opportunity. Appreciate it, man.
Right on. We'll be back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. Take the first step on getting the word out about your organization, business, or event on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show with an interview on the show. You get to explain your message in a way that a commercial can't. You can also use your interview on social media to reach more people. If you have something that needs to be said, email me, Rob Bird, at moondogpro1@yahoo.com to find out more details.
Hi, I'm John Marcus.
And I'm Rob Evers of West Michigan Yacht Sales, your hometown dealer for Pursuit, Brig, and Brokerage Boat Sales.
With both of us raised in Holland, we're thrilled to be your Pursuit dealer where it all started and introduce the Lakeshore to an exciting brand of ribs called Brig.
Yeah, and that's really it. Whether we are helping you find a boat, or selling your boat, or helping you customize a boat that's best for you and your family, we look forward to helping you get on the water, doing whatever it is that's special for you.
You can learn more about us, our brands, and our inventory at WMYachtSales.com.
Need a ride? Let Van Buren Public Transit get you where you need to go. Did you know that Van Buren County residents age 60 and over ride for free 7 days a week with our Transit Rider Card? Our handicap accessible buses make it easy for everyone to get around town. We can get you to your appointments, the store, and to your favorite restaurants. Make Van Buren Public Transit your first choice for transportation. Call our friendly dispatchers at 427-7921 to arrange a ride. Van Buren Public Transit, our business is picking up.
If you missed any part of the show or just want to listen again, you're in luck. You can find Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on podbean.com. That's podbean.com. Just type in My Radio Show, all in one word, in the search bar. Become a member and subscribe to the show. If you don't want to do that, use the podcast app on your mobile phone or listen to us on iTunes Podcast or Google Play Music. You can also find Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Facebook for another way to connect to the show. Hit subscribe to get all the shows, plus a little extra. So don't forget to go to podbean.com or use the app, iTunes, or Google Play to get connected to Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show. It doesn't matter how you do it, just do it. We're back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show and got Matt Comeda in the studio from Norman Cameron in Kalamazoo, which also has a Grand Rapids store. But as usual, we're talking tech stuff, and this one is a little more obscure than what we've talked about. How are you, Matt?
Good. How are you doing?
It's good having you this morning. I'm doing well. It's more about film transfers. And I mean, I would say it's kind of an obscure topic, but I would say as a video guy, I probably get 4 or 5 calls a year asking me about film transfer, the old 16mm, get it to video or to a DVD. Uh-huh. And I always refer folks to Grand Rapids, and I didn't know that you guys had done this stuff. So tell me a little bit about film transfers.
Well, because a lot of people back in the day shot 8mm, 16mm as their home video source. And we find that a lot of people have reels and reels and reels, and they don't have anybody to watch them because the projectors are broken or impossible to find.
That's right.
So we don't actually do it in-house. We have an out lab that we work with that we'll send them to. But they'll actually, they have two processes. One, they just kind of run them. Then they also have a frame-by-frame scan that they'll do to transfer it over either to a DVD. If you really want to go VHS, like old school VHS, they'll still do VHS.
I recommend that not for most of you who might think about going that way.
And then they will also do to hard drives and jump drives. They'll just transfer it over to a file so you can archive it digitally if that's what you want to do.
Okay. And, you know, what kind of formats are there that you guys are transferring to DVD or even VHS? God help me.
Well, when it comes to film,
we might as well just press them to vinyl if we know why we're at it.
So you can go from 8mm, Super 8, and 16mm. We send those out. In-house, though, we'll transfer any tape-based format. So VHS, mini DV, 8mm, high 8, digital 8. We'll do audio cassettes. We have had people bring in vinyl records. We can actually get vinyl records transferred. And
Oh, there you go. And I joked.
Yeah. And then recently we also had somebody bring in some reel-to-reel, like half-inch audio reels. We can actually have those. We actually send those out as well, but we have a source to actually get those transferred over to either a CD again or a file if you want to be able to listen to it.
Yeah. And I have to ask right now because I was at a house that they were gutting the house, the people, and they sold it. A lot of things were left. And I saw piles upon piles of half-inch tape.
Sure.
In my head, I said, that has a value. Mm-hmm. Does it?
To the person transferring it, yeah, there's a lot of value in it. Maybe to the person who recorded it and has something on there.
So there's really not any value to the tape itself?
Not to the tape itself. Again, it's probably more so sentimental value to the content that's on there. And also to the guy who's going to be transferring it, he'll see dollar signs because it's not a cheap process for some of these reels because it's a real-time transfer. So if it's an hour tape, it's a minimum of an hour just to get it into a computer.
Well, I got vetoed and it went up in smoke anyway. So it's actually kind of fun to watch. But, those were somebody's memories of something. Exactly. But these are people that had no connection to the people that bought the house.
And
if you left that stuff sitting there in a house abandoned for 10 years, it probably was something not too important to you.
Right. Home, yeah.
So, when you talk about, is there any other things about film transfers that people might need to know that, because really, it's not something I know too much about. It's I would always refer if I had something that needed to be transferred, I would go somewhere else for that too.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, if you do find them, do it sooner than later. Because film itself is an organic compound.
It degrades.
It degrades. It fades. It'll actually, a lot of times fungus grows on them. And so you really don't have an easy time seeing the footage, or even if it's like a still negative, you get a lot of distortion because of the degradation that happens. So if you have the negatives, you find them in your loved one's home, do it as soon as possible. It can be a pricey process, but if you want to archive those memories for future generations, the quicker you do it, the better.
Yeah, and if you put them in your basement, get them out.
Yeah, exactly, because they do need to be stored in cool, dry conditions. And we've had people say they were cleaning out their grandpa's attic. And in Michigan, where we get super hot summers, super cold winters, humidity and dry, it's not the best.
I got to believe that's just brittle and breaking.
They do, yep. Because the company we send them to will send back, like a list of what happened. And if they weren't able to transfer something because of damage, they'll let you know. And that does happen quite a bit. Yeah. So.
And over the years, even if they are kept in good condition and are used, that kind of tape stretches and it loses life just from use.
Yep.
Not like, the days, people don't think about that because today you put your DVD in, which is DVDs are on their way out, or you got your MP3 player. And your MP3 on your computer, wherever your phone, wherever you may have it, and it's there, and it's never going to degrade.
Right.
But this stuff, it degrades, and at some point, just like the old cassette tape, and I'm sure there's...
Well, because cassettes and everything were magnetic, and a magnet will eventually lose its power and lose its strength. So again, with even those VHS tapes and mini DV, which is a digital format, but it was saved on but it was saved magnetically, you got to get them transferred, because the sooner you get them transferred, or at least get them off that onto something new, you're kind of lock in that format, and you're not going to lose quality from there.
Okay, great. Hey, I think that's pretty good stuff on the film transfer. So if anybody's got some old stuff out there and they want to get it to a format that's going to be lossless and they can have forever, make sure you get it done soon. And if you are able to get it done at Norman Camera.
Yeah, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, give Matt a call. That's why he's here for us, so you know they have that service. But here, we got another minute or two left, but I know you guys are still running some promos this month with Sony.
Yep.
You want to tell me quickly to recap, if anybody needs to know, there's the trade-in, trade-up. And that quickly kind of highlight the new camera that they're evolving some of the stuff around.
The A6400 is coming out. It's got a new sensor, new processor, some awesome new video codecs that are out there. And with the trade-in, trade-up program, you can get up to an additional $500 depending on the Sony Alpha camera you're looking to trade. You can bring a film camera, digital camera, or a lens. It has to be functional. We'll give you trade-in value, and then Sony will kick in some extra.
And if anybody wants to hear that full interview, you can find the podcast on podbean.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, if you do My Radio Show, all one word, you'll find it. You'll be able to go back and search for Matt and look at or listen to the whole 8-minute segment about that camera. So, Matt, if anybody needed to find you, where are they going to do it?
You can find us online at normancamera.com, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and then YouTube as well.
Everybody knows all those places. You can Google the name, too. What's a phone number?
1-800-900-6676.
All right, Matt. Once again, great to have you on the show this morning. Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. And now, a special message from Paul Landecker, Operations Program Director at Midwest Family Broadcasting.
First thing that really impressed me about Moondog Productions was the Facebook videos that Rob was putting up, some of the South Haven videos and some of the other things, the award-winning videos that he has and put up so everybody can see them. The quality that is in those videos, the time he takes, the expertise that he has in making our little town of South Haven look amazing worldwide. We asked Moondog Productions to do a couple of videos for our Summer Jam and Smooth Jazz concerts this past summer. Totally unexpected that, you know, he got those videos back to us within 10 days. I mean, it was quick turnaround. They exceeded my expectations on how they looked. Moondog Productions is no small town operation. And the work they do is major market stuff. It's really, really well done. We didn't have a big budget for this. Rob and Moondog Productions took every cent and made it all work for us very economically. The quality of the product, the ease of working with Moondog Productions, it's simple. I have no doubt that if you have need of quality, big time video at low cost, Rob's your guy. Moondog Productions is where you need to go.
On Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. And as we talked about last week, a new segment that we're doing weekly will be one that brings, originally kind of talking nonprofit groups, but it's not just nonprofit groups. We want to bring other organizations together if they're fitting and, you know, kind of want to do the same type of thing and enrich our community and collaborate and make things better. So I got Brooke Blanchard with me again here from YDC PAL, the executive director. How are you this morning, Brooke?
I am wonderful, Rob. Thank you so much for having me.
It's always so nice that you can be so wonderful between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m. But, you know, when we talk about this and, you know, talk about a little bit more for those that might not have heard about it last week, this segment is to do things that will be bringing people together to enrich the community. And just tell me a little bit about, again, why you wanted to do this.
I really wanted to do this so that ease of access to services is prevalent to the people in the community. And I think the best way to do that is for us to promote each other and, you know, come together so that we're not overlapping in services and we can, you know, make sure that the needs of the families are being met. And we're all doing great work. If we can work together to, you know, reach that many more people, then that's what we should be doing.
Yeah, and when people think about YDC, Youth Development Company, they think kids, but it's really not just kids. It's really about family and the whole community.
Absolutely. Anything that can enrich the life of a child impacts youth. And if that means helping a family in some way, then we definitely want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and as we're doing this, I know we had some ideas of some people that you already knew you wanted to incorporate who are already working with YDC PAL, but we're also looking to see if there's other people out there that we don't know about, because there's an awful lot of groups out there, and we want to kind of throw out that invitation. Is that how you say that?
What? Invitation.
Gee, it is early. The invitation to them to, you know, give us a call or contact you sure. to see how you guys might be able to come together.
Yeah, we're definitely promoting to all of our families, and we have always done that. You know, if there's something that we know a family is struggling with, we really go out of our way to seek out how we can help them, because it's ultimately going to help the whole family. We had one situation where a young man was on the verge of being homeless, and getting him the necessary resources, while we didn't necessarily help him with finding a place to live, we were able to help connect him to services and vice versa. You know, other services and organizations, businesses in the community and surrounding communities, because some of them are, you know, countywide. We want to be a resource, you know, kind of a one-stop shop so that people can have access to all the resources available.
Yeah, absolutely. And YDC obviously can't do everything, but you want to be a place where if someone does has a question, you have an answer.
Absolutely. And our role is youth development. And if that part of that is preparing kids for adolescence and being able to cope and develop these characteristics that help them through life. And if that's a small part of what we can do is refer their family to someone that can help them in a way that's bigger than what we can do, or if it's just something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Going back to bringing groups together, obviously nonprofits are a obvious choice, sure. But you know, someone who may not be a nonprofit, what kind of people are we looking for that might be a for-profit business that can, you know, collaborate and kind of be a part of what, of trying to bring these people together?
I think it's interesting how, when we think of our employers, we don't necessarily think of youth development. Isn't that ironic? No one does that. But if I'm thinking of, you know, our local employers, while we have a child care center, we also have our mentoring program, we have, you know, our summer program, all of those things, the families that are coming, sending their kids to these programs have employers. And those employers are sometimes sponsors for us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're donors for us. Sometimes they're benefiting their employees, and the employees may not even realize it.
And does even some of that come back the other way, where they actually contribute because of their employee?
Sure, sure. Yeah. And I think the more that we look into the needs of our communities and, you know, not just South Haven, but the greater South Haven area, I think that we're finding more the needs are, we're finding more about what those needs are.
Sure. Sure, yeah. Well, absolutely. And, you know, there are, you know, every community and every, you know, groups of people, organizations do have needs. So really, what are those needs?
Well, and it really does vary from community to community, right? So in the South Haven community, the needs are especially kids being a home alone after school is a big part. Mm-hmm. Kids feeling like they have a safe place to go is a big part. Helping kids really hone in on those coping skills. Also just general unmet needs such as housing and food and, you know, transportation is a big one.
Yeah. Well, what about some of those outside areas when you get out to the township and Covert Township and Bangor?
Sure.
And even further north.
Yeah. Transportation is definitely a big issue, which that's nothing new to anyone. Everyone understands and knows that that's an issue. But again, food sometimes, jobs, being able to find daycare is also an issue we're hoping to help with.
And really, that's just a few things. I mean, the list goes on what the needs of any given community are. So, you know, what I think is just the greatest thing of all is that somebody is out there that is willing to champion for children, which champions for families, which makes our communities stronger, and wants to bring people together and collaborate and do things for good of the community, not just one community, but lots of communities around, you know.
Definitely.
And for you to pick that up and to carry that torch, to me, I think is an awesome thing. And I'm hoping that those out there, and if you think that you can benefit maybe with some collaboration with YDC and other people that are connected to them, and maybe they can help you, maybe you can help them. I would strongly encourage you to reach out to Brooke. And if they were to do that, how would they do that, Brooke?
Well, they could email me at brook@ydcpal.org. They could give us a call at 269-639-2489, or they could just stop by our office, which is located at the First Baptist Church.
Right on. Hey, collaboration to me is the name of the game, and it brings people together. And when people are together with a good discourse, even though a lot of views and the way people feel is different, but when they work together, it usually always, imagine that, is a good thing for the community. But Brooke, thank you for coming in this morning, and I look forward into how this was going to grow.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
Right on. Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show will be back in just a minute.
Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show.
Need a ride? Let Van Buren Public Transit get you where you need to go. You're just a phone call away to safe, accessible, and affordable transportation. Our courteous drivers and dispatchers will make you feel like the star that you are. Just give us a call, make a reservation, and a Van Buren Public Transit bus will pull right up to your curb. Or check out our hourly loop schedule and plan your day out on the town. Make Van Buren Public Transit your first choice for transportation. Call 427-7921. Van Buren Public Transit. Our business is picking up.
Robert's Blue Dog Saturday Morning Show.
We're back on Robert's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7 Cozy FM. And without any further ado, I've talked about this. I know lots of people are excited to hear about it. I've got a good friend of mine, Charles Powers the Fourth, in the studio with me when we're talking a little bit about conspiracy theories. And Charles wanted to talk about why he doesn't believe Paul McCartney is the real Paul McCartney. Charles, how are you this morning?
Hey, Rob, doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Awesome. We've talked about this one for long enough, and I'm going to preface it with, I don't know how much I necessarily believe, but I always have an ear or perk up a little bit when I hear conspiracy theories, because they're fun. And, you know, so I want to just have you, you know, let's just play around, and you can kind of educate people to what you've read and researched over the years. So, you know, I guess tell me a little bit about why you don't believe Paul McCartney is the real Paul McCartney.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm a huge Beatle fan. And also, throughout the years, you know, you hear rumors about these things. And sometimes, you know, it leans towards, well, they were doing this for popularity reasons and different aspects of that. But when you really break it down and you start looking at all these interviews that the Beatles have done over the years and all the things that come together, and especially, I've been a Beatle fan probably, you know, 35, 40 years, and listening to all their music and getting to know them and hearing how they sing and how they act and interact with one another and how they look on stage and how they look in, you know, pictures and whatnot. Through this movie that I watched, you know, a few years ago called The Winged Beatle, it kind of opened my eyes up to the bigger picture of what's really going on here. And if you look at Paul McCartney's pictures from the time of, you know, the early Beatles up till 1966, where he supposedly died in a car accident November 9th, 1966, and was decapitated. And from that point on, the Beatles completely changed from, you know, the She Loves You, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah type music and all that stuff to a different movement of, you know, the psychedelic era and getting people's minds in a different format and a different understanding of what they were doing with their creations of their artwork and their music and that.
So that wasn't just a change of the times. That was a physical change that changed the band.
A lot of weird stuff happened, like from the November 9th, 1966 onward. You know, next couple days after that, Brian Epstein announced that the Beatles never ever tour again in public. From that point on, they never toured again. They just made music inside of the studio and all that stuff. And Paul McCartney, you know, people are trying to get pictures of him for about almost a year. No one could figure out where he was at, because basically, when you watch this movie and you have all these people telling the stories of where Paul and John, George, and Ringo were at in that time frame after that situation happened, and supposedly when he did get killed, before that, they had a Paul McCartney lookalike contest. You know, before he made his first public appearance, they did this on American Bandstand with Dick Clark. And they didn't announce the winner. And his name was William Campbell, and he was from Scotland. If you trace back the information that is given, William Campbell disappeared. And, he kind of like reappeared as the imposter of Paul McCartney.
I guess that would be fascinating.
And also, when you go and you watch this movie, and then, you know, you got this narrator who's, you know, he's pretty educated, and you got these scientists, and they're talking about all these different things, you know, the skull structure, the nose, and the mouth. The mouth is a little bit smaller than the original Paul McCartney, and the other Paul McCartney, they can't kind of like do no plastic surgery to make the mouth look like that, and other things, you know, his teeth and stuff like that. There's all kinds of pictures that, you know, you can put together and see there's a big difference between the two. And I always figured either, A, he really did get killed, you know, B, maybe they are doing it for popularity reasons to start, you know.
I mean, just say, why do this? Why not just, if he died, I mean, put it out there that he passed away and the band doesn't know what they're going to do yet, but they'll be moving forward at some point. Why isn't that just the message?
Well, what happened was, as time went on and these things started to occur and happen and people started asking questions, And in that movie, it does go and it breaks down everything. It's about a 2-hour movie. And what happened was that the Queen of England, after she found out about this high profile situation with Paul McCartney being killed, the MI6 became involved, and they said that the Beatles were not going to be able to tell the public this because they were afraid of a mass suicide of young girls, where the police officers who used to guard the Beatles even said there was such a hysteria with the Beatles that young girls would be going to the bathroom, standing there watching them, and just freaking out and passing out, basically. And, you know, there was a lot of hype and a lot of excitement they brought, and they were afraid of a mass suicide from all the girls, you know, killing themselves because the cute Beatle died, you know, basically.
That's right.
That was the story behind that. And every song and every record after that has all these hidden clues and all these hidden messages in all their music. Now, they say it's scientifically impossible to accidentally say something forward, play it backwards, and have that message. Backmasking is where you have to teach yourself to talk backwards, forward, and sing it like that in order to get that message across, where you play it backwards and it says the message. And they did that in about 50 songs.
I mean, that just seems like a whole lot of extra time to try to learn how to do that rather than making music. It just seems so strange. Why would they put that much time into it?
Well, they were going along with the program. And then, of course, like everybody else, you got a conscience. And they started feeling guilty about what they did to their brother, Paul McCartney. You know, we're replacing with this guy who they gave the nickname Fall, Fake Paul, because of all the plastic surgery. And when you're watching this movie, and if you know about the Beatles, Mal Evans was the bodyguard and the sound guy and the equipment guy. He was the stagehand, the main one. He was with them from the very beginning up to about the very end. But he was always with Paul McCartney. When that happened, Paul McCartney actually went down to South Africa. In England, they had actually a hospital in South Africa where he supposedly just had to take a break and get some minor stuff done to himself, supposedly. He either caught a virus or something. They don't go into detail what it was, but he was there. And the first pictures of Paul McCartney it was either 1966 in December or January 1967. They got this video of Paul. Mal Evans took a picture of him, and it looks nothing like the real Paul. I mean, it's crazy. They look nothing alike.
Right.
And with more and more surgery, she became a little bit more, you know, a little bit more, Stop for a minute.
This isn't how these radio interviews work. Stop for a minute. We don't have much time anyway, so we just keep on going. We've got a minute left, so you better say what you got to say.
Well, on his vacation in South Africa, you can see that Paul McCartney changed quite a bit. He got real tall. His head grew bigger. And the other Paul's head is more round, and their voices changed. You know, since the fake Paul is from Scotland, he has a Scottish accent. And if you look at all the interviews, and they actually have these interviews on YouTube, Paul versus Fall, Paul McCartney versus the fake Paul, you will see the comparisons, and you can hear for yourself. It's really interesting, and it's kind of like, it's a little bit mind-boggling.
Yeah, so really, I guess what I'm assuming here, if somebody wants to know more about it, they can go check out the movie, which was The Winged Beetle, right?
Yep.
And then, I mean, you go any Google search and look up the faux pas, or, you know, whatever, or, you know, look up The Winged Beetle or stuff, Beatles Conspiracy. I'm sure a lot of things will be popping up over that.
And I'm going to tell you something else. Ever since the fake Paul got in Paul McCartney's position on every one of his albums and every one of his
the mic's CD, over there. There you go.
Every one of his CD covers and every one of his albums, he's always put in these hidden clues, like Billy or William. You'll always see these signs by him and these different things. And you can even play some of his music backwards to this day. And like the last one I listened to was called Gratitude. And it's a pretty song going forward, but when you play it backwards, which you can on Google and YouTube, it says, I was Willie Campbell.
Right.
And it's real creepy, you know. And I love conspiracy.
Well, that is pretty creepy. And conspiracies are fun. And in the immortal words of Fox Mulder, you don't get more time. Is your phone beeping? Are you kidding me?
It's Hodgman.
Oh, my God.
Hey, one more thing.
No, we don't have one more thing. Your time is up. We'll be right back on Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Super Hits 103.7. I don't know how long you think this goes. I'm already gone for 9-10 minutes.
Okay, hang on.
We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show.
Hi,
I'm John Marcus.
And I'm Rob Evers of West Michigan Yacht Sales, your hometown dealer for Pursuit, Brig, and Brokerage Boat Sales.
With both of us raised in Holland, we're thrilled to be your Pursuit dealer where it all started and introduced the Lakeshore to an exciting brand of ribs called Brig.
Yeah, and that's really it. Whether we are helping you find a boat, or selling your boat, or helping you customize a boat that's best for you and your family, we look forward to helping you get on the water, doing whatever it is that's special for you.
You can learn more about us, our brands, and our inventory at WMYachtSales.com.
If you missed any part of the show or just want to listen again, you're in luck. You can find Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Podbean.com. That's Podbean.com. Just type in my radio show, all in one word, in the search bar. Become a member and subscribe to the show. If you don't want to do that, use the podcast app on your mobile phone or listen to us on iTunes Podcast or Google Play Music. You can also find Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show on Facebook for another way to connect to the show. Hit subscribe to get all the shows, plus a little extra. So don't forget to go to podbean.com or use the app, iTunes, or Google Play to get connected to Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show. It doesn't matter how you do it, just do it. Well, that's it for this show. No long goodbyes this week, so let's get out of here. From Rob Bird's Moondog Saturday Morning Show, have a great Saturday, the best day of the week. This has been a production of the Moondog Radio Network, a division of Moondog Productions. Copyright 2019.